and fire shoots out at you, and you go upside down, straighten your back. Man, it's awesome. About halfway through this ride, my daughter Karis grabs my arm, and she says, "Daddy, I am closing my eyes. I want to get off of this thing. I just want it to be over." And needless to say, the rest of the week, she did not want to get on Mystery Mine. Now, we went back about 9 or 10 days ago on a Friday, and she said, "Daddy, I want to ride Mystery Mine again. I'm not going to close my eyes, and I'm going to keep them open the whole time." And we got off the ride, and she said, "Daddy, I loved it. I want to ride Mystery Mine again." And tonight, we come to the book of Daniel, and we meet a man who lived in an absolutely corrupt culture. And unlike Karis, instead of closing his eyes and saying, "I just want this to be over, just trying to endure or get through," Daniel chose to live prosperously in Babylon. He lived prosperously in a corrupt culture. And here's the reality in 2023. There are many Christians who are just trying to make it. In 2023, there are many Christians who are just trying to hold on. And in 2023, there are many Christians who are simply in survival mode. Here's the problem with that line of thinking. In the Bible, you will never once find this kind of outlook acceptable to God. God intends you and I to thrive and prosper in this culture, not just try to make it, not just try to survive. Daniel's government threw him to the lions, and yet Daniel prospered. And tonight, on July the 23rd, I declare, based on the authority of the Bible, that the God of Daniel's day is the God of today. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so for a few moments, let's look at Daniel, and let's learn how you don't have to just survive. But you too, like Daniel, can prosper in a godless culture. This Daniel prospered. Well, welcome to Babylon. Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were brought to Babylon during the first section of the Babylonian captivity for the express purpose of being trained to serve the Babylonian government. The young men were from the royal noble family, and many commentators believe that Daniel and his friends were between the ages of 16 and 18 years old when they were taken into captivity. Babylon, get this, Babylon had become the symbol of wickedness in the world. Daniel's three friends, how about this? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were thrown into a fiery furnace for simply refusing to bow down to a 90-foot-tall gold statue of Nebuchadnezzar. Babylon worshipped pagan gods. Idol worship and devotion to false gods were rampant. Sexual immorality was widespread in Babylon. Cult and temple prostitution was a common practice. When you think of Babylon, you think of pride, immorality, idolatry, and absolute wickedness. I say this with a burdened heart tonight and not with a joyful one, but America, day by day, is becoming more and more and more like Babylon. We live in a Babylon culture. Daniel lived in a wicked culture, a godless culture, and so do we. However, Daniel had found favor with the most mighty rulers, the kings. In Daniel chapter 1, you may be familiar, but Daniel stood for righteousness, and he chose to not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat or with the wine which he drank. And then in chapters 2 through 5, he had become a revealer of dreams and visions for the kings, all while doing so, being careful to give glory and honor and praise to God. But tonight we come to chapter 6 of Daniel. And now Daniel is no longer 16 to 18 years old. He's about 80 years old. How many of you think that's still a very young man? Amen? 80 years old. And Babylon was now part of the Medo-Persian Empire. The new ruler of Babylon was a man by the name of Darius. Look back with me at verse number 1 and 2 of chapter 6. Would you read it with me again? It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. So over all the princes of the kingdom, there were these three presidents, and Daniel, the one taken captive, was first. He was the chief of the presidents. Isn't that amazing? And the princes answered to one of these three presidents, and they in turn answered to Daniel, who in turn answered to Darius. Daniel, the captivity voice, the one taken into captivity now has a voice with the king. In Calvary Baptist Church, there's only one person that can do that, and that is the Lord. For the majority of us in this room, when you think of Daniel, what immediately comes to your mind? We immediately think of Daniel in the den of lions. And yes, we didn't read it, but right in the middle of chapter 6, we see Daniel being thrown into the den of lions because he prayed to God. And God miraculously saved Daniel from this den of lions. Here's the question that God convicted me about. How does Daniel go from getting thrown into the lions in the middle of chapter 6, and yet at the end of chapter 6, look at verse 28. So this Daniel, what's the word, church? Prospered. And I believe that that answer is found in verse 3 and 4 of our text. And I want you to see it with me. If you're taking notes, I want you to write down number 1. I want you to see Daniel's spirit. Number 1, Daniel's spirit. Look with me at verse number 3. Would you read it with me? And this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Daniel had an excellent spirit. And Calvary Baptist Church, if I could ask you and me tonight, how is your spirit? How is your spirit? Could you look at verse 11 with me, please? Look at chapter 6 and verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel, what church? Praying and making supplication before his God. I don't have to tell you this. You know it. But Daniel was thrown into this den of lions because he defied the government's order and he prayed and talked to God. In Calvary Baptist Church, I believe that prayer and walking with God is what kept Daniel and an excellent spirit. Amen. It is impossible to keep an excellent spirit in this culture unless you are consistently walking with God. Amen. Have you ever noticed that it's easy to vent our frustrations on Facebook? It's easy to vent our frustrations to our friends, but somehow hard to talk to God about our frustrations. And a quick scroll through your Facebook will reveal if you have an excellent spirit or not. Daniel kept an excellent spirit not by going to everyone else. Daniel kept an excellent spirit by going to God. And the reason many Christians do not have an excellent spirit is because our eyes and our affections are on the wrong things. Daniel lived and he labored during some of the most pagan times of human history, and yet he prospered. Here are some of Daniel's political rulers of the day that he lived. Are you ready to hear the list? Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius. And yet he prospered. Why did Daniel prosper? It's because he had an excellent spirit. Daniel's spirit was not one of complaining. It was not one of anger. It was not one of criticism. It was not one of negativity or grumpiness. He had an excellent spirit. Now, you are a smart crowd. Did Daniel prosper after these kings were gone? Or did he prosper while they were ruling? While they were ruling. And there are many Christians in 2023 who are saying, well, if we just had a better president, This was not Daniel's attitude. This Daniel prospered. Not survived, not just trying to make it to the next election season. Daniel prospered. And if Christians are sitting on their hands, waiting for the 2024 election, just waiting to get our joy back, we do not have faith in the God of the Bible. We have faith in the wrong things. Our standing and our identity as believers is not dependent upon political elections. Our standing and our identity as Christians is found in Jesus Christ and in Christ alone. And I want to remind every believer under the sound of my voice tonight that the object of our faith is not government. The object of our faith is Almighty God. Amen. Daniel did not look to men. Daniel learned to look beyond men, and he learned to look to God. And when your life is filled with questions, go back to the one thing you know for sure, that there is a God in heaven that sees and knows who you are, and he is in control. And if your spirit is worked up tonight about everything that's going on, just know that God knows what you're worked up about tonight, and he's bigger than whatever you're worked up about tonight. Yes, sir. I heard a preacher say something recently that I believe I agree with. It stung, it hurt, but I agree. He said, in conservative churches, more Christians have gotten in tune with conservative news than they have with God. And at this very moment, conservative news may be one of the greatest hindrances to revival. Just because something is conservative does not mean it is of Christ. Christians come home and they binge watch Fox News and Newsmax 5 hours, and we sit back and wonder why we don't have an excellent spirit like Daniel. We need a return in our homes of prayer, Bible reading, and praise to our God. Hey, Dad. Hey, Mom, grandparent, our children do not need Tucker, they do not need Hannity, and they do not need Laura Ingraham. They need God, and they need God alone. Turn off the news in your home and get on your knees like Daniel and talk to God. Psalm 20, verse 7. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Daniel learned how to get in tune with God, and he learned to get out of tune with this culture. And I'm burdened today. I'm burdened for myself because we as Bible-believing Christians, we have the most. I said we have the most to be joyful about. And oftentimes, all our culture sees is cranky, cranky, cranky Christians and critical Christians. When they should be seeing Christians with an excellent spirit. Jesus Christ has provided us heaven, and we're critical about everything and anything. The least we could do on this earth is have an excellent spirit. When the waitress at the restaurant sees you walking in the door, do they say, oh boy, it's going to be a rough hour? Or do they say, that person has an excellent spirit, and I want what they have? Are you known, ma'am? Are you known, sir, at your workplace for having an excellent spirit? Or the guy at work that complains and is angry all day about his work environment? Nehemiah 8, verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you're seeking joy, if you're seeking fulfillment in anyone and anything else but God, you are looking in the wrong place. Our strength comes from God and no one else but God. Daniel learned to get his eyes off of the culture. Daniel learned to get his eyes off of everything around him. He got his eyes off the culture. He got his eyes off government. He's got his eyes off the wickedness around him. And he put his eyes on God and in God alone. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You want peace? You want rest, an excellent, restful spirit? Be like Daniel and get in tune with God. What can we do when culture and conviction collide? You can have an excellent spirit. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. In February, I had the opportunity to speak in California. And this church had a bookstore. And so I went to the bookstore to check it out. And I got a book and I got a CD. And I went to the checkout counter and there was an older man I met for the first time. I had a five-minute conversation with him. That five-minute conversation with him changed my life. His name was Mr. Bishop. I got to the checkout counter. Mr. Bishop asked where I was from. And I asked him, how did you come to this church? And as soon as I said that, he began to cry. And for 5 minutes, he could barely utter a word without pausing and weeping. He said, I remember this day, and these people came to my door and invited me, and I came to this church, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. He wept the whole time. I thought it was odd at first, if I could be honest with you. I began to walk away, and he pulled me back and said, Tom, don't ever forget, don't ever get over what God did for you. And there's many Christians who have gotten over what God has done for them. In the midst of a wicked culture, how is your spirit tonight, church? Does your culture see your critical spirit, your angry spirit, your contentious spirit? Do they want what you have? Daniel was preferred because of his excellent spirit. This Daniel, he didn't just hold on and try to survive and try to make it through the culture. He prospered. Number one, we've seen Daniel's spirit. Number two, I want you to see Daniel's character. Number two, Daniel's character. Look with me at verse number four, would you please? Verse four. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. Daniel's character. One thing I appreciate about Brother Harper is that he's not like this. I remember going with Pastor Broyhill, I think it was my first or second year on staff, and we went to this preacher's meeting. And I thought every preacher's were like, you know, Pastor Broyhill. Christ-like, honored the Lord, you know, all these different things. And we were walking through this section of preachers, and one guy pulled him over. Pastor's actually told the story from here. And this preacher looked at him. He said, Pastor Broyhill, he said, if you need me to cancel a meeting to come preach at your church, I'll do it. You know what that preacher lacked? He lacked character.
That's right.
Lacked integrity. And what we need in 2023 is a revival of Christians with character.
Amen.
Here are the presidents and princes, and here's the fact, they were jealous over Daniel. They were jealous of Daniel's promotion. And these presidents and princes, they sought to find an occasion against Daniel. They said, certainly we can find something in this guy. Certainly we can find something to charge him with and that we can bring to the king. You know what happened? They couldn't find anything. They could pin nothing on Daniel. They could find no skeletons in his closet. Daniel was a man of character. He was a man of integrity. Someone once told me that character is what you are when no one is watching. And this is why in just a few verses, in the middle of chapter 6, we find Daniel defying the government's orders and praying to God, knowing that his integrity had consequences. Daniel knew his character, it would cost him something. Lou Baldwin once said, reputation will exalt you in the eyes of man, but integrity will exalt you in the eyes of God. Reputation is what man sees. Integrity is what God sees. Alton Beale once told me, talent and ability can never replace character. Talent and ability can never replace character. Ma'am, sir, you can have all the talent. You can have all the ability. You can have all the outside stuff, but that will never replace character and who you really are. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. Calvary Baptist Church, here's the truth. Fame is empty, talent is surface, money is fleeting, and only character will last. Is it possible to live in a Babylon society with unrighteous rulers? Well, it depends on if you believe that we have a sufficient Bible or not. I want to ask every dad in this room, and I'm a dad, I'm asking me, do your kids see you one way at home and then one way here? You see, men of integrity and men of character, they live for God in both places, not just here. Our kids are watching. To everyone that works in a secular workplace, do your coworkers see you as a man or woman of character or someone that acts just like them? May God help us to have a revival of character-filled Christians, people of integrity. If you're in my Together class, Together Life group, I apologize, you've heard this before. When I was in seventh grade, I was in Bible class, seventh and eighth grade boys' Bible class in a Christian school. There's about 40 of us in there, and we got done a test early, exam early, something like that. And the Bible teacher looked at us and said, boys, if all of you, all 40 of you, can spell a word correctly, if you spell one word correctly, I'm going to go to all of you, if you can spell one word correctly, we will close up our books and we'll go to the gym and play ball for the next half hour. Boy, I was excited. So I'm the third guy in the row. The first guy, his name is Dave. He said, Dave, spell Dave. We said that, man, we're getting out of this. This is over. He said, Dave, spell Dave. He spelled D-A-V-E, Dave. Next guy, it was Jake. He said, Jake, spell Jake. I'm the third guy. He looks at me, he said, Tom, spell hippopotamus. Now, those boys could not stop laughing. But you know what? Who was not laughing? I was not laughing. Now, it's okay. If you laugh now, it's okay. I'm inwardly, I'm laughing as hard as I possibly can, because that's funny, okay? But at that moment, it was not. And my lips started quivering. I started to have a tear come down my cheek there. And I got home, and my mom could tell something was wrong. So I told her what happened, and my dad came home. And this was the first time that I ever heard my parents disagree publicly with an authority figure. This is an example. They never once disagreed with an authority figure in my presence beside this one moment. I remember my dad called this teacher and talked to him. How many of you would talk to this teacher, okay? And he didn't let me be there. I was over playing basketball over on the side or something like that. And my dad walks over I can still see the black landline phone, walks over to me. I said, Dad, I want to talk to this guy, okay? He said, Tom, talk to Mr. Lowry. Talked to him. He said, Tom, I want to ask for your forgiveness. And we talked for a second, hung up the phone. And my dad looks at me. He said, Tom, did you forgive him? I said, yes, sir. He said, this is the last time we'll talk about it. He's forgiven. About a month or two, this guy gets fired from the Christian school. Unrelated to that hippopotamus moment, mind you, okay? And would you guess what my dad did? He said, boys, we're going to go help this guy move. We were the only two ones there. He opened the front door, and there we were. Dad, Tom, and Joe helping him move. You know what that's called, church? It's called character. Yes, sir. Amen. It's called integrity. A lot of parents in today's society would just push that guy aside and write on Facebook how awful he is. My dad was there to love and support him. May God give us Daniels who have character. When they sought to find an occasion, they could find none. This Daniel prospered because he had character, because he had integrity. We've seen Daniel's spirit. We've seen Daniel's character. Number three tonight, I want you to see Daniel's faithfulness. Daniel's faithfulness. Would you look back with me at verse number 4? Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning this kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was, what's the word, church? Faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. The princes, the presidents, they continue to search for some fault or error in Daniel, but they come up short again. Why? Because Daniel was faithful. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 6. If you were at our men's prayer breakfast, the first one in January, you heard Pastor Bixler preach on this text. He said, the Bible says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can find? You see, we live in a culture of the look at me. Look what I've accomplished. Look what I've done. And you know what God is looking for? God is looking for faithfulness. This Daniel prospered in a wicked culture because he was faithful. What does our culture need tonight? They need faithful, faithful, faithful Christians. Sunday school teacher, life group teacher, it is not time to quit. It is time to remain faithful. Nursery worker, thank God for the nursery workers. It's not time to quit. It is time to remain faithful. Bus worker, it's not time to quit. It's time to remain faithful. Musician and choir member, it is not time to quit. It's time to remain faithful. First impressions worker, greeter, it's not time to quit. It's time to remain faithful. Calvary Club and teen worker, it's not time to quit. It's time to remain faithful. Children's church worker, it's not time to quit. It's time to remain faithful. Single mother, wondering if you can do it on your own. It is not time to quit, ma'am. It is time to remain faithful. Employee in a godless work environment, it is not time to quit. Witnessing to your coworkers, it is time to remain faithful. Parents of a wayward son or a wayward daughter, it is not time to quit praying for that son. It is not time to quit praying for that daughter. It is time to remain faithful. You do not remember quitters. You remember the faithful ones. And this Daniel prospered in a wicked culture because he was faithful. Christian, we need you to be faithful to the Lord. Daniel, in a Babylon society, he was faithful. Our family enjoys listening to the Clark family. We have their CDs in our car often. And the other day we were listening to the song, Leave With Nothing Left. And there was a phrase in there that popped at me, and here's what it said. Could it be that we're so heavenly minded that somehow we've been blinded to what he's calling us to do right here? And yes, the Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. But if we're not careful, we can forget that we have a culture around us that needs Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's many Christians, I don't know why God has me here. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. Just trying to survive, just trying to make it. And Daniel prospered in his culture because he was faithful. Be a light tomorrow. Florence Chadwick, she was the first woman to swim the English Channel in both directions. And on July the 4th, 1951, she attempted to swim the Catalina Island to the California coast. The challenge for her, it wasn't really the distance. It was the bone-chilling cold water of the Pacific on that day. And to complicate matters, there was a dense fog that laid over the entire area, making it impossible for her to see. She couldn't see where she was swimming. And after 15 hours of swimming, she was only a half mile from the shore. And suddenly, she gave up, only minutes from that shore. A reporter asked her later why she stopped after being so close. And here was her response. If I could have only just seen the land, I would have made it. And church family, we have too many Christians throwing in the towel when God isn't finished with us yet. This Daniel prospered. Too many Christians just trying to survive, just trying to make it. When God has so much for you. based on the Bible and the life of Daniel, we do not have to live our remaining days just trying to make it through this godless culture, just like Babylon. You don't have to just try and hold on. Now, tomorrow is Monday, and some of you in your heart are already dreading the Monday. You think about the work environment you're going into. You're thinking of the person that you have to see or what you have to do. This Daniel prospered. And you can too. You don't have to go into survival mode. You can thrive. How is your spirit? How is it? Is it excellent? How is your character? And how is your faithfulness? You can try and just survive, or you can prosper. And the choice is yours. Daniel's government, they threw him to lions. But yet he prospered. In Calvary Baptist Church, the God of Daniel's day is the God of right now. Amen. This Daniel prospered, and so can you. Amen. This Daniel prospered. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head with me just for a moment.